Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Welcome to episode 51, and we have another Next Big Thing episode ahead of us here. And our guest for this episode, you've probably heard her. She's been with Michael W. Smith. She's helped out Mandisa. I mean, there's a whole list of people that she's helped out with, so you've probably heard her voice before, but maybe not as Sky Reedy. So we are so happy to have you joining us for this episode, Sky.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to talk with you and be here, and this is so fun. Yeah.
Well, and I hope I did you justice there, because I know you've been with Michael W. Smith. I know you've been with Mandisa, Matthew West. I mean, there's a whole list of artists that you've just worked with, and now, I mean, you just said, nah, not them. I'm better than this.
Not quite. It's been quite the journey, but I'm so thankful for the Nashville community of music. And I have a very unconventional story of me. I was actually an artist when I was younger, but my journey to get back to my own artistry just happened to coincide with all of these other wonderful artists who I have worked with and as a background vocalist or on their records. And now I'm getting to work with them as an artist and as a worship leader. And yeah, it's just Nashville's such a cool musical community, and I'm really grateful for that.
That's so cool. And as this was kind of coming out, I was introduced to you mainly through your husband, Blaine, who works with Mandisa, bass player, creative director. I mean, we talked about him a little bit in our Mandisa episode, and he's like,
"Oh no,
yeah,
that's awesome."
We're just talking about how, you know, Mandisa surrounds herself. She's doing her video episodes of "What If I Were Real," and that was one of the episodes. And just kind of being able to meet some of those people that she surrounds herself, and she talked about it in her episode. But you know, I've also seen it in practice with just being able to meet some of her crew.
You know, it's funny because I was just literally thinking today of she's one of the people I'm most grateful for in Nashville for so many reasons. But, you know, I started singing with her right after I graduated from college. I was actually doing demos and just kind of getting my feet into that industry. And I ended up singing all the BGBs on her Overcomer record. I think I did every song except for one, which was, you know, so exciting for me as a fresh out of college, young 20 something kid. And that album went on to win 2 Grammys. It was just such a wild time. I had no idea what was going on. And then at the same time, she asked me to come out on the road with her. So I ended up touring with her and touring that record with her for the next 2.5 years. But I think my favorite memory from that season is learning how she surrounded herself with a team that just impacted people everywhere we went. I mean, it just felt like there wasn't a weak link in the bunch. And I feel like really the focus was ministry more so than business. And I know she believes in stewarding the business side of things well. And I definitely learned that from her. But the heart behind everything that they do is ministry. And it's from the top down. You know, I mean, even down to her crew guys and girls. I mean, just praying for people backstage, praying for people at the merch table. I mean, there's just so many memories I have that impacted me and have now helped me figure out how to build my own team and to really just discern who the Lord is wanting to be a part of things and hold them with open hands. Because when I told her I was leaving because I felt like God was asking me to step back into my own artistry, I mean, she very lovingly blessed me to go do that. And now my husband's playing for her, you know, and working with her. It's just like God just writes the best stories. It's so cool. So awesome. Yeah, pretty sweet.
I gotta tell you this, when Blaine was introducing me to you and he was saying that you had this coming out and all this, and he's like, I may be biased, but I think she's really good and all that. And it's like, you better be biased, man. I hope so.
Honestly, well, you know, that's a great segue into Blaine is really the whole reason I'm doing music to begin with, I mentioned this earlier, but I was actually a pop artist when I was really young. I was doing pretty well and pretty successful at a very young age. At about 15, I was talking with a couple of different labels, was about to sign my first deal. And I had actually just been through a lot as a young person at that point. And my mom was very sick at the time, and she ended up passing away right around that time. And I think that I was very young and I didn't know what I wanted or what life was. And so I was raised in the church, but at that point I kind of walked away from church and walked away from music and just said, you know what? I think I'm good. I don't think that this is for me. And that's when my dad was like, you're moving to Nashville and you're going to go to a music school. And so I ended up moving to Nashville and I was like, well, I'll go to this school, but I'm not going to like it. And I'm not going to go into music, but I will go to this school. And somewhere along in there, I think it was my sophomore year of college, I ended up going with a friend, going to church. It was the first time I'd been to church in I don't know how long, and just had a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit and completely got my life back on track. And then I met Blaine at the exact same time. And he was the one who said to me, why aren't you singing? You should be singing. And so I said to him, okay, well, I'll start singing, but I don't want to be an artist, so I am just going to sing background for people, and maybe I'll just sing demos and sing on people's records. And of course, he was like, okay, she'll change her mind one day. And so that kind of led into the Mandisa thing. And yeah, so somewhere out being on the road with her, the Lord really just started to work on my heart, and the Holy Spirit called me out and said, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You need to get in line with the plan that I have for your life. And so, yeah, that's when I went to DC and I said, you know what, I think I need to make a change. I think it's time for me to step into where I'm supposed to be. So I came off of the road with her, and I had a dream right after that someone called me and said, I know that you are supposed to be a worship leader, and I would like to help you build your ministry. And so would you come out on the road with us? And would you go on this international world tour with us and lead worship? And I had that dream right after I'd quit with her. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. The Lord, like, he is telling me exactly what's going to happen. And it's going to happen like next week. And that did not happen. I basically started leading worship at my church and really just doing some deep inner healing during that time and kind of dealing with all of that pain and my mom's loss that I had never really dealt with, and just my own worries and fears about being an artist again. And the Lord was just really working on my heart. It was around that time when I started singing with Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. And I was just doing Christmas stuff, but I knew what an amazing worship leader Michael was. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll do some things with him because maybe I can learn from him. And so I did that. I sang on and off with him for about 3 years. So at the end of that 3 years, just on a random Tuesday night at about 9:30, I get a call from Michael. And he's like, hey, Sky, I have an idea. I'm changing my whole format and I am completely doing worship music, and I'm about to go on an international world tour. And I know that you're leading worship, and I want you to come out and lead worship with us. Wow. And I almost dropped the phone. I started bawling. Just, I was like, you have no idea. And he's on the other end of the phone going, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And so, yeah, that kind of led into the next 2 years of me being with him on the road and going all over the world and leading worship. And yeah, that was a much longer response than your question. But yeah, it's just some of my story.
Well, that is so crazy. And well, that's why we're here, is to hear the story, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Part of what I was reading as well is that the leading worship is kind of going back to your roots a little bit. I saw that you led worship in inner city churches in Florida, where you're from.
Yes. Yes. The other part of my story is that when I was very little, about 2 years old, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease along with some other members of my family. And so the church really just surrounded us during that time. And so church was a huge part of my upbringing and God. And I mean, I honestly can't even really remember a time when I felt like I was saved for the first time, just because my life was so surrounded by the Holy Spirit. And I feel like I've just always known the Lord because of my family heritage. So I just grew up in this really rich community of believers. And, you know, my family was walking through a really hard time, but alongside of that, I had started to sing at my church and people were kind of starting to hear my story, my family's story. And they asked me to start coming to different churches to share my story and to sing. I'm from Tampa, Florida. Tampa is a wonderful place. It is such a melting pot of culture and diversity, and which is a huge, huge part of my heart and worship. And honestly, a lot of artists that I've gotten to work with, it's a huge part of their heart too, which has been really cool that the Lord has kind of paired that up. But yeah, so I started singing in all of these inner city churches in Tampa, and just getting to know all of these beautiful cultures and telling my story. And yeah, so it's so ingrained in me. And I think that's one of the things that I love so much about working with Mandisa and also working with Michael W. Smith. Their heart is for diversity. And it's just, I love that our culture right now is setting a lot of things right. And, you know, we are seeing that really unity is so important and unity in Christ is so important and how beautiful every race and every culture is. And the sound that creates in worship when we come together in one, that's when the Lord commands a blessing, you know, and it's so deep in me. I'm so passionate about it, but that's where it all comes from.
That's just so true. It's really come to a highlight. Some not so great moments, some really great moments, but yeah. I mean, you're right. It's kind of in focus right now, just that need for diversity and just that need to hear other voices, hear other styles, and just hear other hearts in the middle of everything that's going on.
Yeah. And that intentionality. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is where can we be intentional with that? You know, because the Lord is intentional with that. I mean, I can think back to all of the specific situations that he has placed me in. And, you know, we are his hands and feet and we're supposed to be doing that. It's a big piece of my heart of, you know, hopefully the future of what we're doing is just lots of diversity. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think that's just so important. We're getting stuck so much in narratives right now of this is what's happening. This is what's happening. And, you know, it's not until you get into that church environment where it is so diverse and you're like side by side and arm in arm and voice by voice until you really start seeing what that unity and just what that heart of God actually is instead of whatever's coming, you know, through your phone news feed or through the TV or whatever that is. I mean, it has to be that intentional. I'm getting side by side, no matter what your narrative is, no matter what your view is. I mean, that's the important thing is that you've got to get side by side and just be intentional. I think that's the right word for it. It's just intentionality.
Yeah, side by side and really arm in arm and, you know, linking up with people and doing life together with people and just being intentional about who surrounds your life. And some of the most beautiful moments of my life have come out of being invited into situations with people that aren't the same as me and having that different perspective. I mean, even in worship, one of my most favorite memories, we went to Monterrey, Mexico with Michael. And I'll never forget, we were driving through the neighborhood and just, you know, through this area. And we get to this big arena and we walk into the arena and not one person spoke English in that area. And I walk into this arena and every single person in the room is singing at the top of their lungs. Hands are raised. I walked in and I was like, this is heaven. This is what the throne room sounds like. You know, it's different languages and different cultures. And it's just such a beautiful representation of the Father because he was so intentional in creating every one of his children. And we're all different and it's all beautiful. And there's a place for it. And we're so much stronger together. And there really is a blessing in unity. And it takes, I mean, this is just, I guess the word for today is intentionality. And I think we can pray for that. I think we can pray for God to put that on our heart and open up our eyes to it, because I think it's just really easy to go throughout your day and be focused on your own life and, you know, kind of miss the opportunity to be intentional. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings me to something else that I had noticed. I noticed that you were on the Jesus Freak Cruise this last time.
Yes. So
it's very possible that we may have walked by each other and not even known it.
No way. That's awesome. We had so much fun. And that was one of the moments that was kind of a full circle moment for me. Again, just, I mean, I, you know, have toured with Toby and Mandisa and all them and, you know, as a background vocalist. And so to get to be on that cruise as myself as an artist leading worship with all of my friends and these people who have been so impactful in my life. I mean, even Toby, like just to get to learn from him and the way he does things was such as it was really fun. And my husband was there, you know, like it's just, which his backstory, he actually plays in country as well. Kind of another piece of our story. When I decided to step away from Mandisa and do my own music, I had a couple of things that I prayed for. And I was like, you know what, God, I'm saying yes to be an artist, but there's a couple of things that I just feel like I need to work out before that happens. And one of those is that Blaine and I are traveling separate. We need to be together. He's in this whole other genre of music. And I would just, I feel like we're supposed to be on the road together. Can you make a way to bring him into this genre? You know, even if he's still doing country stuff, that's okay. But is there a way for us to be together? You know, what does our future look like? Another thing I really prayed for was my health was a lot better at that point in life because I was mostly really sick when I was younger. But, you know, I just said, I know what it takes to be an artist. And God, I think I need to be totally healed to do what I think you're asking me to do. And again, back to Blaine. Blaine was, you know, one of the people in my life who kept telling me, you know, that the Lord wants to heal you. And I think when I was younger, I don't know that I fully believed in healing. And I learned a lot through Blaine, and it sent me on this journey of really praying and trying to discover, you know, what healing in the Lord meant. And so, yeah, I came off the road and was kind of praying through those couple things. And during that time, God started to work on Blaine's heart and kind of move him over into this genre and just sent us on a really sweet journey together. But right before Michael called me and asked me to come out and lead worship, I think it was maybe a year before that, Blaine and I were sitting at home one day just watching, I think we were watching church online, and all of a sudden I just heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm healing you right now. And I felt this chronic fatigue that I had had my entire life just lift off of my body for the first time in, I think it was 26 years at that point. Wow. And just immediately felt everything in my body change. And he and I just kind of sat there and had just a beautiful moment of thanks and worship with the Lord for the next couple of hours and literally walked away completely supernaturally healed in the presence of God. And then shortly after that is when Mandisa called me. She said, hey, I know that, you know, Blaine has been doing other stuff, but, you know, we actually need a fill-in for some summer shows. Do you think he would be interested in coming out? And I was like, yes, let me talk to him, but I'm pretty sure he'd love it. And of course he went out and loved it, loved them, loved her, had such a great time and just fit, just a great fit. And so he started doing more in worship and CCM, and the Lord brought him over for me. And now he's playing with me and helping with some management stuff. And I'm just so grateful that I could go on and on about answered prayers in my life, but the Lord's been really good to us. So
kind of going back, where I was going with that was I did not actually get to, you know, hear you worship because that was all in the morning and none of us are morning people. So
that's totally fine. The next one, we'll do it on the next one. I'm just going to put it out there. Call me, Toby. I would like to go on the next Jesus Week cruise.
So we went on both of them, and I'm pretty sure if it happens again, we're going to do it.
They're so fun. And I mean, DC Talk, like, what in the world? They're still so good. I just don't understand it. Yeah. They're great.
For sure.
Yeah.
But kind of going back to that culture, the first time we went, we didn't take our kid because we were like, you know, the heck with this. We're having a kid-free week. Like, nope.
Yes.
Kind of our, I think at the time it was more of a delayed 10th anniversary celebration.
Oh, nice.
So we're like, you know, no kid, whatever. But after we went the first time, we had rented a scooter in Nassau and we're like, holy cow, like there's so much more to see here and just all the different stuff that we're able to see.
Yeah.
We went with some friends of ours that we made on the first cruise and it turned into a guide trip for them. So one of the kids came along with and we did the same thing, except we rented a buggy this time and just got to show my daughter that different area, just that people live differently, that the United States is not what it is everywhere, that just to let her see a little bit of that different culture and just, I mean, of course, island is beautiful. That's awesome there too, but you know, just to kind of be intentional and just be able to show her different things, different cultures, you know, different histories. We visited some of the forts that were there and just being able to see some of that history that's outside of our kind of our normal. I mean, it's just so cool to be able to take her and just show her that difference in cultures.
You know, Jake, that's so good because that's, I really have to give credit to my parents because they were the ones who were so intentional about exposing us to things outside of our bubble. I think that's so beautiful that you did that because that's what it takes. It takes someone going, hey, look over here. And that's why we travel and that's why people go on mission trips. It's to get that different perspective. And I think just to get out of the routine of, there's something bad about having a routine, but you know, the Lord speaks differently when we do break that routine and we just kind of stay present with what he's wanting to show us in each season. And I think in each season, he has a moment where he's just kind of going, hey, bring your eyes up a little bit from your normal daily life and see the bigger picture of what's going on. And as a Christian, you know, the Lord's heart is for justice and where can you affect change? And not to bring up my own song, but we just released a song called Come Move in Us last week. And it's the first song that I've released in quite a while. And it's actually about revival. And I was super nervous to put it out. I actually wasn't even sure if we were going to release it this year because revival seems like such a big thing to talk about. And I just didn't want, I didn't want it to be the wrong timing. And Mandisa, actually, she ended up hearing the song and just by a random chance. And she was the one who called me and said, you need to put this out right now. Like, this is for right now and get it recorded, whatever you need to do, like, just get it out. And so we had actually just recorded a bunch of other songs. And so we went back into the studio and finished this song. And that's the one that we just put out a few days ago. It's truly about revival. And you know, the thing that has just been ringing in my heart with this year, with everything that has gone on and everything that we're learning, is what does it mean for me personally for revival to start in my own heart, in my own home, in my own family and community? And that intentionality, what does that look like? Because it can be really easy to get on our phones and scroll and feel super discouraged by, you know, what is being painted as the bigger picture of life. But I love that God works on a relational level. And there are people in my world, in your world, that no one else has access to, that we can speak into their lives and we can show them the hands and feet of Jesus in a different way that no one else can. And I'm so encouraged by that because there's so much that I can do to be intentional about revival and about unity in my own community. And whenever I feel overwhelmed by what's going on, I kind of just have to go, okay, God, where are my feet? And where can I be a servant for you right now? That's how I look at it.
And as you're kind of talking, I think one of the things that just really kind of comes up in my brain is, what you're saying is relational. And how do I put this? you know, the Bible never talks about be ashamed of what you are gifted with and what you have just because we're gifted with what we are in the States here, or if you were born into the right family or not. Or there's gifts that are given, and you don't always give the same gifts to, well, I have two kids. I'm not going to give the same gift to each kid. You know, each one of them is different. And I know it's not the best analogy, but that we don't have to be ashamed of the gifts and where we're at. But at the same point, we also need to move for those who need moving for.
That's right. It's just so important for us to embrace that. I mean, it's not, responsibility seems like a harsh word, but it's more of a gift that we get to be the ones to do that. And to be, I mean, we have such a generous God. And so we are called to be generous with our gifts and with our time and with our attention. How can we be generous with our attention right now, especially during a time when it's kind of a loud time to live in? There's always a way that we could be distracted or we could be caught up in our own world. And I constantly find that the Holy Spirit is asking me to lift my eyes above my own circumstance and pay attention to who He is highlighting. And I think it's good that we ask the Holy Spirit, God, who are you highlighting in my life that I can be generous with the gifts that you have given me to be generous with? And, you know, really leaning on Him and walking that out in a practical way.
Well, I'll close the Jesus freak portion of that saying where I actually met Blaine was I ambushed him a little bit by the ice cream machine.
No way. That is so amazing because he does not handle ice cream the best, and he could eat the ice cream on that cruise. So he was literally always by that ice cream machine. That's so awesome. I can't wait to tell him.
So yeah, he was there. I can't remember why I was walking by. It was just a, hey man, you know, that was, or really enjoyed what you were doing, or, you know, something along that line, and talked with him for a quick minute. And then I saw him in Memphis for the We Love Awards.
Oh, nice. That's right. Yeah. He was there with Meredith, I think.
Yep.
Meredith Andrews.
Yep. But yeah, it started by the ice cream machine.
It all started there. Oh man. And like cruises, there's just so much food. It's amazing and also not amazing at the same time. Yeah.
That's so good.
That is so great.
Well, cool. So we talked a little bit about your song that just came out, and you have another one that's coming out here.
Right here. Surprise everyone. We are premiering it with new release today. So exciting.
Well, what I'll have you do here is just go ahead and talk a little bit about the song and intro it, and we'll debut it right here.
Awesome. This is so exciting. Well, you know, the official intro of this song is that to go back when I was singing with Michael and when he asked me to come out and lead worship, I walked into rehearsals. I walked into the first day of rehearsals for the Surrounded World Tour. And, you know, we rehearsed all day long, and then we got to the very end of the set. And he starts playing Agnus Dei. He's just sitting there playing it. And then he looks at me and he goes, sing this. I had no idea he was going to do that. And so I start singing the song. It felt like I put a glove on. I mean, it just felt like something that my heart needed to sing in that moment. And really, it's just one of those days that marked me. It's one of the things that I find comes out every time I lead worship of just, holy is the Lord. And I spent the next 2 years going around singing that song with him all over the world. Ended up getting to record it on this live record that we did in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena with like 14,000 people were there. It was talk about unity, talk about a night of unity. Oh my goodness, the diversity and just the intentionality of that night. I'll never forget it. Waymaker came out of that night. I mean, there's so many stories that came out of that night. Yeah, so I got to record that song, and they released that last year. But so when I started writing for this project, I had been writing for a little bit and we had had some good songs, but I don't think we had kind of landed on the sound that we were looking for and just the writing that we were looking for. And so, you know, I was headed into a write, and I typically just like to start out my day just on my face in worship with the Lord before I go into a ride. And I'm really just looking to spend time with him and get my heart into a place of worship rather than just into a place of thinking before I go into a ride. And I was, you know, just journaling, and I literally wrote on the page, "You are holy." And below it, I wrote, "God, please send me friends to help me write my heart song, what is within me." And 30 seconds later, my phone buzzed, and my good friend, her name is Bailey Hager. She actually sings with Madison Street Worship and Corey Voss. And she sent me a voice text, and she said, "Hey, I literally just thought of this idea, and it popped into my head, and I think it's for you, and I think we should write on it." And she sent me this voice text, which is actually the entire first verse and most of the first chorus of what is now the song "Holy, Take Our Breath Away." It just feels like such a sweet follow-up to Agnus Dei, and it feels like an extension of what I have been singing for the last couple of years and just what has been woven so deeply in me because of that song. And it's really just about being in awe in the presence of God. And yeah, this one's pretty special to me, I have to say. So yeah, "Holy, Take Our Breath Away." This is it.
Here
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.